Please open your Bibles with me into the last book in the Bible, that is the book of Revelation, as we will read from Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Hear then God's holy and inspired word, as we will read it from Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And that happens to be our text as well. "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophras, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So far, the reading of God's holy word and the reading of our text. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation is not an easy book to understand, but it does become easier when you begin to understand its picture language. And boys and girls, what I mean by that is that there are things described in picture form, and they have a greater meaning than the picture itself. And so the book of Revelation in picture form shows us the bride of Christ. Now, who is she? Well, she's a beauty. She's described in our text chapter as a beautiful city, that is, the New Jerusalem. Not the old Jerusalem in the land of Palestine, but the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, or out of heaven, from God. That's the New Jerusalem. However, and this should be of great interest to each and every one of us, young and old, and that is this. There's a new meaning to this picture of the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, from God. There's a new meaning to that, as we are told already in verse 2 of our text chapter, and that is, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now that gives us a good idea already that here is something that is beautiful. The Apostle John, as you know, is addressed here by the angel who speaks to him about this bride, even, and here again, the Lamb's wife. And of course, Christ is the Lamb, the Lamb's wife. And then he gets to see an amazing beauty, perfect in shape, dazzling in pearls, and illuminated with the glory and the light of God. Now again, who is this bride of Christ? Well, the bride of Christ is described in the book of Revelation, as I said already, as the holy city, the New Jerusalem. But it is what I might want to call a picture parable of God's people. And you can notice that already in verse 3. To be more precise yet, the bride of Christ is the church of Jesus Christ and every individual believer in that church, part of that church. Now, why is she called a bride? Because as a bride, she is waiting, she is anticipating, and she is longing for the grand wedding feast. When will this wedding feast begin? Well, when Christ returns, that is, at the second coming of Christ. And we have the words of our text, therefore, Revelation 21 and the last part of verse 9. Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, let us hear about this then in the following way. The bride of Christ shown. In the first place, the bride while waiting. Secondly, the bride while anticipating. And then lastly, the bride while longing. Now, congregation, as preacher of the gospel, I have that great privilege of showing you something of the bride of Christ. In fact, I have the privilege, as all true gospel preachers have, is to share in betrothing and preparing the bride of Christ for the marriage feast of the Lamb. And I hope that something of that betrothing and something of that preparing will also occur this hour as well. But let me first show you then the bride of Christ and what she is waiting for. By the way, while I'm speaking about her, see if you personally can identify with her somewhat. Presently, the bride of Christ is waiting. She does not yet appear as John sees in his vision, as it is described here in Revelation 21. Presently, the bride of Christ is still waiting. Presently, she is waiting to shine gloriously, because presently her light is quite dim yet. At times it seems, in fact, that her light might even go out. Now, as a preacher, it is my task, and that by word and spirit, not only to call sinners to repentance and faith, but is also to make sure that the light of the bride of Christ will keep shining brightly. And therefore, may the preaching of this hour stimulate men and women, boys and girls, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself once said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 16. Now, perhaps you have learned this little song in your childhood. And no, the organist doesn't have the music for it. I haven't asked her, but I know she won't have the music for it. But it's this little rhyme. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. And so, I want to encourage you, young and old, let the light of the gospel and your love for the Savior be seen on you and be heard from you. That is how we may shine our light, even if it is only in a small corner, this world. Presently, the bride of Christ is waiting for peace with her surroundings. But presently, she is still in the world, isn't she? Where she will experience temptations and attacks of the evil one. Presently, she is still out in the battlefield. And my task as preacher is therefore to lift up my hands in prayer for her. Besides, as servant of God, I must see to it that she is dressed in the full armor of God, as it is described for us, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 6. But she is waiting for that day that she may lay down all of her armor and be perfectly safe and be secure and at peace with her surroundings. Presently, the bride of Christ is waiting to be one with Christ. She presently feels herself at times still at a distance from Christ. And at this point, dear congregation, I'm going to become a little bit more personal. Personal. At this time, you as a believer, you as a member of the bride of Christ, yes, you too will at times find yourselves at a distance from Christ. Communion with him can at times be far and few between. Sometimes we as believers must lament with Job, "Look, I go forward, but he is not there, backwards, but I cannot perceive him." Or we must even weep with the beloved in the Song of Solomon, "I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer." As preacher of the gospel, I must show you by word and spirit the Lord Jesus Christ, that so that you may hear it from his own mouth. "I," so says Christ, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And so the bride of Christ is waiting, waiting to be satisfied in her union and communion with Christ. The bride of Christ is waiting. Waiting for Jesus Christ and waiting for the day when she will stand on solid ground and waiting for that glorious future when the whole church will stand on a steadfast rock that is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But presently, she finds herself standing in shifting sand instead of solid rock. The bride of Christ is waiting for personal perfection. But presently, the bride of Christ is not yet perfect. As believers, we know from personal experience that we are far from being perfect, aren't we? Far from being perfect. Our walk, our talk, and our conduct are still stained with sin. And with a sensitive conscience alerting us to sin, we must constantly flee from sin, repent of sin, and seek a free and full forgiveness with the Lamb that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ, therefore, is waiting to be done with sin and to be perfect, even as Christ is perfect. And so, dear people, I ask you at this point, can you identify with the bride of Christ? Are you waiting to shine brightly for Christ Jesus? Are you waiting to be free from the temptations to sin? Are you waiting for the battle to be done with? Are you waiting to be close to Christ, even in union and communion with Him? Are you waiting for that glorious future when you will stand on solid ground and never be moved anymore? Are you waiting to be perfect, even as Christ Jesus is perfect? Well, always let Christ Jesus the Savior be the focus of your attention. Let him have the first place. Let him have the preeminence, as they would say, in your life. Be drawn to him and hear it from his own mouth. And I, if I be lifted up from this earth, will draw all men, all women, all boys and girls, will draw all men unto myself, all peoples. If I be lifted up, that means when he was lifted on the cross and we look to him, we can't help but be drawn to this marvelous Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I must say that not only is the bride of Christ waiting, but so is Christ himself. He is presently waiting for his bride in order to take her home to himself. And as he is waiting for his bride to come home, he is actually busy preparing a place for her. And he promised this to his disciples already, as future members of the bride. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Therefore, you who have learned to entrust yourself to Christ, wait for him. Wait for him to take you home to where he, Christ, is. Meanwhile, as you wait for Christ to take you home, live for him. Yes, live for him. Keep yourself clean from sin. Keep yourself from the pollution of sin. How? Be a waiting believer, filled with zeal for the cause of Christ, confident in his salvation. I preached on confidence, the Christian confidence this morning. Well, confident in the promise of his word, confident in the promise of his salvation, so that, as the Apostle Paul could once express it, that he may present the church of Jesus Christ, the bride, in what way? As a chaste virgin to Christ. That is, in a spiritual sense, as a chaste virgin of Christ to Christ. And so, be encouraged, therefore, by John, through his vision, to know that one day you, as part of the bride, the Lamb's wife, will shine, will be safe, will be satisfied, will be solid, and glory be, you will be sinless. Then you, with the church of all ages, will rejoice to see Christ in his full glory, and he will welcome you, his bride, into that everlasting home that he is presently preparing for you. Well, let me now, in the second place, consider with you the bride while anticipating. The bride, that is, the Church of Christ, has a future that is beyond our most blissful imagination. However, what follows here in our text is the Holy Spirit's way to aid, to help our imagination and make it as blissful as it is possible for us. From what follows in our text, we are shown the glorious, perfect, and triumphant state of the church, that is, of the bride of Christ, and what she will be in the future. Now let me show you, as John has said so clearly, or has heard so clearly from the angel, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And what he shows then is that she will be comforted, she will be lifted from all her sorrows and sadness. Now you know that in this life, believers will be in pain at times. They will weep for the loss of loved ones. They feel to be alone. They may even cry in the night season at times because of such loneliness. But as believers, we may anticipate a large dose of comforting. Verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Secondly, the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife, may anticipate a radiation from her, or perhaps I can say a glow from her that could be seen in so much of her life, that could not really be seen much in her life. She will shine, so we are told in verse 11. She will have the glory of God radiating from her, so to speak. Her light will be fabulous. In fact, she will have the full light of Christ in her, and it will be brighter, and it will be clearer than the sun, and it will, as it were, radiate from her. Verse 23. The bride of Christ will be more than just a light, a candle in a place. More than just a light on a hill, she will shine forth as she has never done before. Thirdly, the bride of Christ will be safe. Verse 12, she will be like an enclosed one with enclosing of a wall. And this is symbolic. It's a picture language over safety and over security from all evils and all possible enemies. Nothing and no one will be able to persecute her, harass her, threaten her, attack her, or harm her. She will be perfectly and eternally safe. The wall, therefore, symbolizes her perfect safety and security. Fourthly, the bride of Christ will be satisfied. We are told here about the wall having 12 gates, and that those gates will never be shut day or night, verse 25. And this is symbolic. It's a picture language of her unrestricted access to God, particularly even to the most holy and high God of heaven and earth and the holy place of God. She will never find herself shut out from the Lord. She will never find herself at a distance from Christ. The open gates, you see, it assures her of satisfying union and communion with the bridegroom, that is, the Lamb of God, and that for always, eternity. Fifthly, she will be solid. We are told that she will be on a 12-fold foundation. Even the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, verse 14. That means she will be rock solid. No heresy will ever pull her off balance. No errors will destabilize her. No false teachings will ever trip her up anymore. No temptation will ever try to pull her down anymore. She will be solid upon this foundation, even upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Sixthly, she will be sinless. We are told about the streets of gold, clear and clean, and as transparent as glass, verse 21. And this is picture language. This symbolizes the purity of her walk and of her talk and of her conduct. She will not have a stain of total depravity about her. Not a hint of original sin will be with her any longer. Not a speck of actual sins will be with her anymore. All her sins will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And even the remembrance of sins will be absent because God will remember them no more. Now, this is what John could see in a vision about the bride, the Lamb's wife, that is, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. She will be comforted. She will shine. She will be safe. She will be satisfied. She will be on a solid foundation. And she will be perfectly sinless. She will be all that and much more because the symbolism, the pictures here in Revelation 21 just pulsate, you see, with glory of perfection and of beauty. And then remember this, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be in that glorious state and in that wondrous condition one day when Christ Jesus will take her home to himself. She's not yet in such a state. She's not yet in such a condition of glory and perfection yet. She's not yet in such a beautiful state yet. She's still on her way. She's still being prepared by word and by Holy Spirit for that glorious future. And preachers of the gospel may have a small share in preparing you for it. And this is why the Apostle Paul once said to the church of Jesus Christ at Corinth, and it's a marvelous word, and it speaks of what lives in his heart, and I trust lives in every preacher's heart, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, "For I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ and to Christ." In other words, Paul said to the church at Corinth, "I am busy preparing you to be the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now let me ask you, do you sense getting prepared by the preaching of the gospel to be part of the bride of Christ? Are you part of that church in which the church is in the betrothal stage to Christ? Are you anticipating being presented as a spiritually chaste virgin to Christ? Well, then you must have a relationship, a saving relationship with Christ at this moment. Because, you see, it is only through a saving relationship with Christ that you can actually anticipate being the bride of Christ or being part of the bride of Christ. And so my question is to, have you already entrusted yourself to Christ to be saved from your sin? Is the preaching of the gospel and is the reading and the studying and the meditation on the Word of God, is it busy preparing you to be the bride, the Lamb's wife? If so, there will be one unmistakable evidence. Your heart will be longing for Christ. Let me speak of that in the third place. The bride while longing. Now, dear people, it is clear from our text passage that a fabulous wedding feast is to be anticipated. John's view of the Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, is Revelation's way of saying that the bride of Christ is coming home. She's coming home. Well, now this is what every believer, being a member of the bride of Christ, may and should be longing for. Coming home. Coming home. Being with Christ. This is what the Apostle Paul longed for, you see. When he tells us, for instance, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Now, why should there be such a longing for Christ? Because, dear people, this world is not our home. It's a place of pilgrimage. It's a place of traveling. And we travel through, you see. It's a place where no true rest can be found. And therefore, we are longing to go home and to be with Christ. As a bride looks forward to her wedding day and to be with her beloved bridegroom, so the bride of Christ longs to be with her beloved bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Again, why such longing to be with Christ? Because as a believer, I may know Him as my Savior and as my Redeemer. He sacrificed His life for me. And I trust you can say that of yourself too. He took the brutality of the crucifixion upon Himself to rid me, and I trust you, of my sin, your sin, and make us holy. He shed His blood in order to wash me, to make me clean. He gave me His Holy Spirit in order to make me pure and holy. He drew me by way of His Word and Holy Spirit to lead me so that I could follow after Him. He entered into my very existence with His love so that I could confess this also with the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why such longing to be with Christ? Because I love Christ. I love Him for first loving me and for pouring out His love in my heart. And dear people, I hope and pray this can also be your confession. Young and old, I love Christ. Dear people, this has been a privilege for me to show you something of the bride of Christ this hour. And again, I ask you, can you identify with her? If not, and here I need to sound a warning. But if what you have heard so far this hour is still totally strange to you, I hesitate to tell you, and I hesitate to even read these words, but you might still have to identify with those who are described in the passage that is found in our text passage and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let this not be a description of any of you here. Therefore, consider your future. Will you be part of that holy city, the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, and live eternally in holy matrimony with the Lord Jesus Christ, your bridegroom? Or will you suffer eternal condemnation and damnation and curse eternally in hell? Dear people, may I be become a matchmaker. You know what a matchmaker is? There's someone who brings a guy and a girl together and eventually they get married. Well, may I at this time yet become a matchmaker by word and Holy Spirit between you and Jesus Christ. Be drawn to him and speak to him about entering into a saving relationship with him. He will not cast you off. He will not deny you. He will not turn you down. He will not turn his back to you. He will receive you. Yes, lay your sins before him. He'll take care of them. And trust yourself to him. And he will have you as his bride. Oh, bride of Christ, your waiting will not be in vain. Not be in vain. Be patient. He will come for you. Soon, and perhaps very soon, you'll hear it. The trumpet will sound. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Be full of anticipation, dear people, because your eternity will be more than an eye can see or that an ear can hear as to what is reserved for you. And therefore, be in a spirit of longing. And let your confession and let your expression of faith be, I love him because he first loved me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Let us close a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word that could be read and that could be explained and proclaimed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing yourself as the bridegroom. And thank you that you have fallen in love with the bride. May we all be part of her. May we all experience something of the love that you are so ready to pour out in our hearts. May we be faithful to you. And may we wait till we may go home. Bless us, we pray. Bless the congregation. Bless its pastor. Him and his wife and child. Grant that our brother may have a fruitful ministry in this congregation and that the consistory and the congregation may be a praying consistory and congregation for him and to him, and that all things will go in such a manner that you will have the honor for it. Bring us home safely. And we ask all this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name alone. Amen.